Your Bibles, if you would please, tonight and open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 in the Word of God this evening. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2 in the Word of God tonight. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we once again want to just welcome you to the services tonight. And for those of you who are faithful each and every week, whether you're on live stream this evening or right here in the auditorium, I just want to tell you thank you so much for being faithful to the house of God, especially on a Wednesday night. I know Wednesday nights are not necessarily popular anymore, but I love coming on a Wednesday night and just diving into the Word of God. And thank you, parents, this evening. I know it's not always easy to get home, but get a homework done and then rush back over to church. But I just want to commend you this evening and thank you for having your teenagers here. And they're up there learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also our young kids. And we just praise the Lord that we can gather on a Wednesday night and just bring requests before Him, gather around, pray, and then dive into the Word of God. That's what we're going to do tonight. We're once again at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, where this is part 13 of an in-depth study of 1 Thessalonians. We've been looking at the example church, the example church. So would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? As you remember, we've been looking at different subjects like a strong church and conversions and then ministers and the first 12 verses of this chapter. And tonight we're going to kind of change tune just a little bit, be looking at a new subject this evening. We kind of took a little bit of a time out last week and began to look at several verses that are dealing with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how that is applicable to you and I, not just those who are lost, but the gospel is something that you and I live each and every day. And so tonight we're going to jump back in here to verse number 13. It's a little bit of a longer verse, and so we'll dive in a little bit, and then we're going to move past it as the Holy Spirit guides tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look with me at verse number 13. The Bible says this: "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." This evening, as we look at the example church, we're going to change gears a little bit from looking at a strong minister, and tonight we're going to look at strong Christians. This evening, we're going to look at the subject of strong Christians. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for those who have gathered. Thank you, Lord, for the music this evening. Lord, I love the songs that were chosen this evening, Lord. That it's just amazing, Father, how sometimes it goes right along with the message. And Father, that's you, the Holy Spirit, that's working in our lives. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd allow us to rightly divide the word of truth. We're going to dive in a little bit deeper tonight. And so, Father, in this Bible study, I ask, Lord, that you would be exalted. And Father, that you would encourage our hearts. As I pray so often, especially on Sunday mornings, that you would, Lord, convict us where we need to be convicted. Father, I ask, Lord, for the words this evening, that you would allow me, Father, just to be able to bring a message that over the next several days we are able to meditate on. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A strong church is a church that will have strong people. And those people, once they are saved, become Christians. And strong Christians, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who are continuing steadfast in Him, those people are going to come together each and every week, and they're going to grow in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we look at strong Christians, we are going to be looking at it in such a way that we see these people here in Thessalonica, and the reason that they were strong Christians was, first of all, they received the word. Number one, they received the word. You see, a strong Christian will receive the word of God as the word of God. The Thessalonian believers had received the word through the preaching and the teaching of men. Look at this verse very carefully with me here in verse number 13. The Bible says this: "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, Because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard, watch the wording here, of us. You see, Paul, Silas, and Timothy had carried and proclaimed the word of God as they moved throughout these cities. You see, it takes communication. It takes, watch now, people to communicate the word of God. If believers did not speak the word of God, if they did not share the word, then it would never be heard. And if it's never going to be heard, then it would not be received. You see, watch very carefully. I'm just going to touch on this because there's a verse that's coming up that will hit it a little bit deeper. But this really is you and I, as we saw last week, living out the gospel. This is what you and I have been commissioned to do. Every one of us who are saved, and we ask this question often, but kind of wakes us up. So let's ask this question. How many are saved tonight? Would you say amen? Amen? Okay, so if we're saved, then you and I are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have been commissioned to share and to tell and to live the gospel. It's what you and I ought to be living each and every week. All of us accomplished something this past week. Over the last 3 days, or let's just say 7 days, since we gathered here and kind of began to lay a foundation of verse number 13. Over the last 7 days, we all got it equally. We all got 24 hours a day in the last 7 days. We all got the same amount of hours. We all got the same amount of minutes, the same amount of seconds. All of us during this time would say that we have accomplished something. But let's go a little bit deeper this evening. What have we accomplished for the gospel of Jesus Christ? What have you and I accomplished in our lives over the past 7 days? How many people have we told about Him? How have we lived through our social media? What have we passed down to the next generation, whether it be in our kids or in our grandkids? You see, all of us are living a life, and a strong Christian is going to live a life where we are sharing what Christ has done in us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, these people were hearing the word of God, and they were hearing it through Paul and these other men who had a ministry. But the Thessalonian believers had received the word not as the word of men. Look at this passage of Scripture. It says this, when ye receive the word, verse number 13, of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now let's pause right here for just a moment. What really a phenomenal statement here. Paul unequivocally declares the word he proclaimed was not the word of men, but it was the word of God. He further adds, it is in truth. It is in truth the word of God. I want us to think about this and ponder this. Now watch, it's really good to ask ourselves these questions. So let's just ask it tonight. Don't answer it out loud, but I want you just to think about it. Do we believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Think about it for just a moment. Do we believe that the Bible is the Word of God? You see, this church, the Thessalonians, these Thessalonians, they did. They believed it. Paul believed it. But remember, what Paul preached was Old Testament scriptures. But he's also preaching and teaching the mysteries of Christ that God had revealed directly to him. We don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but we know this through Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 25 and 26 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 7 and Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 9 and Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 4 and so many other scriptures that Paul is declaring, what I am giving you, I'm not making up. This is the very word of God. But if we think about the society that you and I live in, if we think about the world, the culture, let's just think about the globe and 7+ billion people that inhabit this globe, this earth. Think about it for a moment. Most people do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Most people don't believe that what you and I hold in our hand, this canon of Scripture, the 66 books of the Bible from Genesis all the way over to Revelation, from the beginning to the end, most people do not believe that it is the Word of God. Many people believe that the Word of God is just, well, it's just, it's of men. It's not really of God. It's compiled by some authors and over some period of time, some poets put some stuff together. Some think that the New Testament is only what the early apostles believed or what they could remember. Historically speaking of this man from Nazareth, this Jesus Christ, there's some or many of millions that believe it's just, you know, it's some good art and it's some good fiction in there. And historically speaking, we've got some written about this Jesus. Some think that the Old Testament is only the religious book and religious fables of the Jews over several thousand years written by great religious leaders. Now listen very carefully. But the Bible claims it is in truth the Word of God. And the Thessalonian church and its believers received it as the Word of God. You see, believing the Bible is the Word of God, it changes everything in a person's life. When you and I got saved, that means this: you and I put our faith and trust that what the Bible is telling us about heaven and about hell and about Jesus who came 2,000 years ago and lived and had a ministry and he died and he buried and he was risen, he rose from the grave. Understand this, you and I received that, and not only did we receive it, we believe that. If you believe that, say amen. But how do you know? You weren't there. I wasn't there. We believe the Word of God. And when you and I dive into the Word of God, and when we receive the Word of God, what it does then is it changes a believer's life. Now listen very carefully. Watch. Now I got to move around a little bit because I want to say, I know it's, look, it's 7:33. We're very tired. It's dark outside. But I want you to comprehend this. If we can get people to believe the Word of God, I mean receive it, make this their final authority, I'm here to tell you this evening, friend, it will change their life. Why? Because it breaks the bondage that the world lives in fear and doubt and worry and consumed with the things of this world. Watch very carefully. They're consumed with what other people think and how other people live their lives, whether it be standards or preferences. And there are so many Christians that they, as we saw last week, they get out of the bondage and they're saved from all of this bondage, and then they put themselves right back into bondage, thinking and worried about what everybody's going to think about their life. Watch very carefully. But when you dive into the Word of God, and when you believe it and you receive it, friend, let me put it this way, it will change the dynamic and the way that you and I live, and it changes it for the better. Amen. You and I can actually smile. You know why? Who cares what coronavirus is doing? What, you hear about the Democrats? Yeah. Did you hear about the Republicans? Sure. Who cares? What do you mean? We have revelation in the Word of God. That means this: we know how it ends. Check it out. We know how it all ends. You and I know that at the end of our life, we are either going to die or we're going to go up with the trumpet. How many would rather go up with the trumpet? Say amen. I sure would. But we know how it is. So when you dive into the Word of God and when you begin to receive it as it is, the very Word of God, you and I don't have to, excuse me, moms, you and I don't have to live this life of worrying, consumed, and, oh, what's going to, dad's going to have to, oh, what's going to, we don't know, how's it going to end? No. You get into the Word of God, and all of a sudden, you are living for the audience of one. You are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. This self, consummation of self, this, I'm looking for a word here, this self-absorption, this life living of me, and the world revolves around me, and what am I going to do? And watch, when you dive into the Word of God, and when you really accept it as the Word of God, here's what begins to happen. God gets in your life and begins to transform you, and that worry and that doubt and that fear, watch, it's all God. God didn't save us just to give us fire insurance and then we're supposed to live our lives and be preppers thinking that we're going to go through the tribulation. Friend, let me just put it this way. If you know Bible prophecy, we're not going through the tribulation. God's going to come back and he's going to rescue you and I. He's going to bring us out of here. And at that time, I think we're going to realize this world is not our home. Anybody believe that? Say amen. Well, don't take my word for it. Well, then how do you know? Because I received the word of God as the very word of God. It's perfect. It's inspired. It's inerrant. It's preserved for you and I. It's I want to say magical, but that's not the word. It's let me put it this way. It's alive. It's alive. There's no other book like it. This Bible transforms you. It speaks to us. Well, that just sounds really weird. No, it doesn't. When you know our Savior, when you know the God of the universe, when you realize that this is His, it all begins to make sense. It is, in truth, the Word of God. Watch what it says here in verse number 13. Look what it says. Look at that comma, and then it says this. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It says this. Watch out. The verse is saying, God is going to work in you and I, the strong Christian that believe. But in what do we believe? Well, we believe the Word of God. If you and I, now look, okay, let's break it down here. Let's just break it down. If we do not believe the Word of God, that means this. If we treat this like it's just, you know, another book, it's good and it's great, but, you know, I don't know, it's kind of archaic, it's kind of old, you know, yeah, I know. So look, if we just treat it like any other book, or if we treat it like a buffet, we want to pick and choose what we want to eat, and then we'll throw out the rest. Now, listen. If you and I treat this just haphazard, there is nothing left to believe but the word of men. If we don't accept and receive the word of God, then the only thing that you and I are left with is to believe, you ready for this? The word of men. Can man be wrong? Yes or no? Absolutely. Can God be wrong? Cannot be wrong. You see, when you and I believe man instead of God, the best that men can give us is his message of words that stir us to greater fill in the blank. Now look, there's a lot of men out there. There's a lot of pep talks. To be honest with you, and this is just your pastor speaking, I think it's kind of a problem that we have in the pulpit nowadays. I think in a lot of pulpits across our nation, we've gotten away from expository preaching and preaching the Word of God, and we've come to good pep talks, and Pastor Chris, we've talked about this, a lot of cool illustrations, and it's good, and we're all entertained, and there's some good things that men say, but watch this. I am much more interested in what thus saith the Lord than what thus saith culture. Who's with me tonight? Listen, what man is going to give us at his best is maybe self-improvement or perhaps self-development, self-image. What man's going to give us at best is works and goodness and morality and justice and equality and let's say this, commitment. He said, Pastor, I mean, that all sounds good. What in the world? No, wait now. All this is good, but it has one terrible flaw. It's flawed. You see, it ends. It comes to a conclusion. It's a period. It's done. You see, everything about man ends when man dies. The messages and words of men can do no more than that what a man can do. And a man can do no more but this, live for a short time, and then his life is done and vanishes away, and it's over. And for many, when they die and continue in this terrible separation of life, separated from God, watch very carefully. But a God of love would speak and clearly and articulate without any error so that you and I could unmistakably know about ourselves, about this world. You see, man will give us some good, and maybe it's good for a while, but it's going to vanish. It's going to be done. But when you and I receive the very word of God and we make it applicable to our life, watch now. Here's where the gospel changes us. Watch now. It means that you and I are going to understand who we are. You and I are going to understand why we are here. We're going to understand why the things are the way that they are. You and I are going to understand where we are going one day. You see, some of the Thessalonians believed the word of God. Therefore, God worked in their hearts and their lives, converting and growing them to be more like their Savior, Jesus Christ. Acts 17 and verse number 11 says this: there were some more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Let's ask us ourselves a very personal question. Are we and do we believe the word of God? Yes, okay, great. But if we really believe the word of God, okay, you ready for this? It's not teenagers. This is for us adults. Then why are we not in it? If this is what's really going to transform our life, then why do we devote so much time to everything else? There's a lot of good books out there, and my wife and I both are readers, and try to get through about a book a month, and I love to read. But let me just put it this way: out of the volumes of books that are in my office, and I think I'm up to about 1,600 or 1,700 on Logos, and all those books. Let me just tell you this: compile them all together, nothing compares to this book right here. Nothing. But when they received the word, they allowed it to transform their lives. You show someone who's always fighting and bickering and always mad, and I'll show you a person who's not in the word of God. Show us a person that's bitter and can't move on, and I'll show you a person that's not in this word. Show me a person who just is always constantly gossiping and backstabbing and creating problems at work. And I'll show you a person that's not in this word. Why? Because a person who is gospel transformed, a person who's in the word of God, watch, they allow it to change their lives. That means this. How many men in here have a child that's still living at home? Would you raise your hand for just a moment? You have a kid that's still living at home. Raise your hand. Let me see it for just a moment, okay? All over here, so there's probably about maybe 20 of us or so in here. Man, let's put it this way. Do you want to be a better dad or not? Well, I thought somebody would say amen right there. Guys, do we want to be a better dad or not? Let's just say amen, okay? Do you want to be a better dad or not? We have to be in the Word. How many moms do we have in here tonight? Still have kids at home? Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. There's a lot of moms in here. You want to be a better mom? You have to be in the Word of God. You have to be in it. Well, I don't understand it all. Well, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Get in it. Study it. Let that light that God wants to give shine through us. You see, these strong Christians, they got into the Word and they received the Word. But also, secondly, there was a rekindled hope. Number two, there was a rekindled hope. Look with me, if you would, here at verse number 14. Look what it says. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. Now, let's pause right here for just a moment. Strong Christians are going to become followers in strong churches. Strong churches are going to give the word of God, and then strong Christians are going to become stronger. Why? Not because of the preference of the pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. Watch. No, because we're going to grow together in the word. And friend, in good and bad times, listen to this question. Aren't you thankful for a good local church? Amen. It's good to come in and to grow in Him. That's why I said it tonight. And I know I took a little bit of time, but I just praise the Lord on a Wednesday night. I've been in churches all over this country and come in on a Wednesday night, and there's 5 people in there, maybe 10 people. I'm not exaggerating. I have 200 or 300 on Sunday and 10, 20 on a Wednesday night. Man, I'm thankful for a church that Carrie and I pull in, and man, look at the cars pulling in, people rolling in. Listen now, a strong Christian is going to be a person that comes in and they're growing in the Word. Look what it says here, verse number 14. It says, for ye also has suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now pause right here for just a moment. Note that their own countrymen were persecuting them. There was both Jew and there were Gentile, but the instigators were going to be the Jews. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 5 gets some light. Let's do it carefully. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. There's this uprising that takes place, and the Thessalonians are being compared to these other churches where there are those unbelievers, and these unbelievers begin to really stir up strife, and they begin to really hurt those that are in this local church. Now watch very carefully. Nothing cuts and threatens us like the opposition of those who are closest to us. Our family, our friends, our neighbors, other Christians. When those that we love oppose us, the temptation is to give in. But let me put it this way, friend. Listen very carefully. You and I are going to face opposition. You and I are going to face those that do not agree. You and I are going to come across those that don't necessarily understand why we're here on a Wednesday night, or don't understand a standard that we have in our life, or don't understand why we stand firm on the very word of God. But you and I must continue on with Christ, trusting that He's going to take care of us, that you and I, our lives are going to win over those persecutors to Christ, and that our testimony is going to be stood fast, and our testimony is going to stand the test of time. Listen now, I'm just going to put it this way. In the day and age we live, what you and I stand for, the little things that you and I, right and wrong and righteousness, what you and I stand for, nowadays in our culture, I'm just going to put it like this, in the United States of America, really it's flip-flopped. They hate what we stand for. They despise it. The world, I don't want to depress anybody tonight, but the world's not getting better, friend. And so, to be honest with you, I feel like in our country, we've kind of lost all common sense even. Our moral compass isn't there, and it hasn't been there for many, many years. But now we're even losing, where people are calling right wrong and wrong. Sounds like some Bible coming in there. Look, we're in the end times, friend. I don't know if you heard today, but I read we're on our passports now. It's male, female, and another gender. You could put X on there. Friend, that's just backwards. That's totally against God. That's not a big deal. I mean, okay, maybe it. But I feel like over the last 20 years, the preachers who have thundered it in the pulpits, here's what's coming, here's what's coming, here's what's coming, dun-da-da-dun, it's here. We're here. And you and I, watch, we're going to have those that push against us. I mean, we're going to have those that don't like what you and I stand for. That they're not going to like what you and I, no matter what politically correct or this, we have to stand on the very word of God. We have to take the word of God and receive it. And then we understand and begin to comprehend that rekindled hope inside of us that, watch very carefully, you and I are not alone. You and I have the very Holy Spirit living inside of us. Does that not give you hope tonight? Amen. You and I see this rekindled hope. How? Because Paul's saying, look, you, it's those who live with you that, and it's those, your neighbors and your friends, and those Jews, they're coming up against you. Look at verse number 15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Now, a strong Christian escapes the guilt of the Jews. Now, this may be a strange way to word this point, but this is what's coming to mind. You ready for this? A person either stands and supports Christ or is in opposition to Him. A church either stands and so is a supporter of Jesus, or they are in opposition to Him. You see, their Jewish persecutor stood in opposition to Christ, in opposition to God's Son that he sent here. And remember, they were religionists. There is a body of religious people who were set on destroying the Christian church in the name of, you ready for this? Religion. But the Thessalonian church and its believers stood in support of Christ. Therefore, they escaped whatever guilt hangs over a person's head for opposing God's Son. You see, when you and I get saved, when you and I accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, you ready for this? Watch now. When we receive Jesus, the sins that you and I have committed, they are underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. Watch now. That means this. They are blotted out. Aren't you thankful for that? God says, I'm going to take your sin. I'm going to remember it no more. I'm going to separate as far as the east is from the west. How many has ever sinned in here tonight? No, you don't have to raise your hand because check it out. We've all sinned. Every hand in here would be raised. You and I, watch now, when we got saved, we became a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This persecution is taking place in the name of religion. Now watch very carefully. There will be those that try to persecute the church even in this day in the name of religion. And Christian, I want to encourage us this evening that although hard times may come, you remember that old hymn we used to sing, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It's going to be worth it all, friend. When you receive the word, when you allow the gospel to live inside of you and transform you, all of a sudden we begin to comprehend that there is this rekindled hope that you and I are alive, we're renewed, we are a new creature. We're not here, we're not going to stand. And no, our sins are blotted out. They are remembered no more. Look at verse number 16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. You see, they persecuted the Christian believers. They not only rejected the gospel, but they wanted to destroy the message of those who followed and proclaimed it. They didn't want anyone to have anything to do with this Jesus. They didn't want any of these, what they call them, Christians now, you know, because they're followers of Christ. Look, they're stepping on the scene and they're persecuted. And not only they killed Jesus, they're killing the prophets. And now they're persecuting Paul and Silas and even the church here. And we're going to see it in Timothy's life, this persecution that comes. Acts chapter 4 says this, and they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple, and of the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and they put in hold unto that day, for it was now eventide. Watch now, no person can please God when they stand in opposition to Christ. You and I have given our lives totally over to Jesus. We've been bought with the price. We saw this last week. You and I comprehend. This body's not our own. We've given it to the Lord. Now watch. But the Jews were not at all about doing this. Nothing was going to break them away from their own religious ceremonies and their own ideas about religion. Now look at the end of verse number 16. It says this, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now, I want us to think about this. If Jesus Christ is truly God's Son, then judgment of God upon the Jewish unbelievers is going to be inevitable. In fact, his judgment is upon any person who stands in opposition to Christ. No man, woman, boy, girl, child, who opposes the gospel or does not accept the gospel, they will not escape judgment. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That means this, listen, friend, judgment day is coming. It's hard at times. Look, I know. I've asked the question many a times. We've all pondered it. How can a God in heaven send some tribe in, you name it, Southeast Asia, Africa, doesn't matter, Central America, how can a God of love send a person who has never heard the gospel, doesn't know who Jesus is? How can a God in heaven send a person like that to a place called hell for all of eternity? Is that impossible? It absolutely is. That's why it is so important, friend, that you and I live out the gospel. That's why you and I, we give towards missions. Brother Schellenberg, it's 12% goes towards our missions. Is that correct? I think it's it was 11. I think it's 12 now. 12%. I was looking for Deb. Deb, it's 12%. Is that correct? It's 13%. 13% of everything that comes in the offerings at Cross Point Baptist Church goes directly towards missions. Now, we ought to say amen to that. Amen? It's wonderful. No, why? Because every man and woman on that back wall is reaching the uttermost. They're going out. They've devoted and hazarded their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ in places that you and I, most likely, friend, will never go. We'll never be there. Well, good for them. But let me put it this way. By putting our tithe and offering in, whether we're giving online or dropping it off in the box in the back, does not exclude you and I from the gospel. We have an area right here that needs it. Trunk or Treat is not celebrating Halloween, although we're going to have a lot of costumes come through and skeletons and goblins and gooblins and all this. Okay, great. But the dress up the Power Ranger as you want to. You're making fun of me because I said gooblins. It's not a word, but I made it up, okay? Three of you are like, well, gooblin, pastor. Okay, whatever. Dress up as Power Ranger, Ninja Turtle, Superman, Batman. I don't care. Look, it's not about that. You know what it's about? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about getting it out. The reason we stopped and we prayed tonight is because, friend, we have to be serious that we're just not meeting for an hour on Wednesday night for our kids to go up and to enjoy, you know, playing the basketball, or they dressed up as like ninjas tonight. No. You and I come this evening because we're serious about living the gospel. Now, I'm almost done. Watch now, but we got to get through this point. Look at verse number 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored. Look at the wording here. We were taken a short time, but they may have taken us, but not in heart. Endeavored, look at the wording here, the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. My goodness, endeavored, more abundantly, see your face with great desire. You see, a strong Christian possesses a strong fellowship. The fellowship of the Thessalonians was so strong that Paul could not wait to get back to them. Friend, let me put it this way. All of us, this ought to be our heart. To get back together. To be here and to rejoice. Look at verse number 18. Wherefore, we should have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again. But Satan hindered us. He hindered us. There's several reasons we could give tonight that we believe why so Paul would put this, why they were hindered, whether it was sickness or health, or whether it was those who persecuted him or was held up. Nonetheless, here's what's taking place. There is a desire and a want to get together in fellowship. And every time there's a want and a desire for you and I to grow, here's what's going to happen. Something is going to try to hinder what is going on. And that hindrance often takes place from Satan. It often takes place in a negative spirit or attitude, or I'm going to put it this way. Even we ourselves have to be very careful that you and I are never used in a negative way to hinder what God's doing at Cross Point Baptist Church. Our spirit, our attitude, whatever it is that we get upset about, I'm not even going to name things because we're all different and we've all got our little pet peeves, and we've got to come in here and realize, man, we want to, and my third point got up there, so I'll just go ahead and say, we want to rejoice in fellowship coming together. We ought to come together here, and I'm telling you, Cross Point, I just want to say this. It is incredible after church service to see in the hallways and over in the gym and outside, people just fellowshipping and talking. You know what that is? That's a spirit of cohesiveness, wanting to come together and talk and fellowship. It's just good. It's good to be together. Brother Habing's been on lockup, Brother John Habing, and the last several weeks he's given like a, I don't even know what that's called, where they dim the lights and it comes back on. You know, it's telling us like, okay, leave people. we're just staying so long that we're going outside in the parking lot and we're here and there. When we receive the word, it's going to rekindle a hope. I want to give you hope today, not as a politician, but as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to be okay. Amen. We're on the winning side. When that hope is rekindled, there is this rejoicing that comes that, hey, let's get together. Let's sing about God. Let's sing of his power. Let's sing of his presence. Let's rejoice with each other. Some, as Pastor Dan, you said tonight, I'm going through some tough times. But Brian's going through a tough time, just lost his mom. But I got together with him today, and I came away just encouraged. You know why? Because although I've never met her, I'm going to meet her one day. Amen. We're rejoicing tonight. Mindy is here this evening. You know what? What I love about this, the Stock family, they didn't give up. They didn't call it quits. They didn't say it's done. It's over. It's not fair. You know what they said? We're going to see Jeremy again very soon. Amen. Deb, Nate's here tonight. I can say, well, Earl's taken too early. Was he? Yeah, 67's pretty young. But let me put it this way. We're going to see Earl again one day. Yeah. Earl's part of the great cloud of witnesses cheering you and I on. When we receive the word of God, what it does, it rekindles that hope. The hope is this. This world's not our home, and that you and I can come together. The church is being persecuted. We think we're being persecuted because, well, the mandates are out. Did you hear what they're doing? Oh, Biden said this. Let me tell you something. What they're facing is not face masks. They're facing death, persecution, burned at the stake. And let me tell you, they still came together rejoicing in the fellowship of God. I'm trying to encourage us tonight that, friend, I'm just going to put this way. We'll be okay. Church is going to be, I said, look, I know it's 8:04. We're not going to be okay because you're 4 minutes over. Tough luck, friend. Look, we're going to be okay. That when you dive in and you receive God's word, the Bible that you hold in your hand, I'm telling you, it'll put a pep in your step and a smile on your face because you realize we're not living for us. The gospel has transformed you and I, that we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ.